and join us in one of the classes, Bible classes, mini classes. We'll probably announce the list at the end of the service. But once again, thanks for being here.
Thanks indeed for being here, and thanks to Larry for leading us in worship today. Whatever you have carried in this room in you this morning, whatever is in your heart, in your soul, on your shoulders, know that you are loved and held by God today. Bring all these things with you and let us gather and encourage one another in faith to the God who is indeed with us. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you are visiting either here in person or online, thanks. We're so glad for your presence, and we hope that you feel warmly welcome in this place. If you are gathering online, now's a great time to grab communion supplies, because we will, as always, share communion a little bit later in our service after the sermon. You can grab bread, crackers, juice, wine, water, whatever you got will be just fine. Okay, I want to invite you, please, to stand as I read from Psalm 116. Let's remain standing for the couple of songs that follow, please, and through our prayer in silence. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. Let's sing together.
Before we do that, Cora, do you want to come up and light our candle of presence? Come on up. Come on. This candle represents the presence of Jesus, the continuing presence of Jesus. Thank you, Cora. Let's sing. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. Oh, tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, his Spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. After we sing this song, we will remain standing and have a moment of silent prayer.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their King in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I am. And bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored, thy praise should sing, O Almighty King. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored.
Dear God, we pray that you hear the collective prayers that have been lifted up. May blessings result. May joy and hope be born. We thank you for this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing for the next song.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee.
I guess remain standing for the call to discipleship.
We're going to stand this entire hour service. How's that? As we've been doing from week one through our Markan series, this is our call to discipleship. I will read the first part, the reader, and please respond with the all. Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said this: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Let's be seated, please. Our text today is going to be read by DeAndre and Deborah. Y'all come on up here. This is from Mark chapter 5.
Jesus and the disciples arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in a burial cave and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. The day and the night wandered among the brood caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still in the distance, some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said, "The spirit come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us instead of this man." Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them away to some distant place.
There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the ten towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them.
Deborah and DeAndre, thank you for reading so beautifully today our text. Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear today, and pour through me now the gift of preaching. For it's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. After last week's crazy and chaotic boat ride across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and his disciples make it to dry land. None of the disciples were harmed in the making of the trip, but they were shaken and stirred to the core. Not only did the whirlwind of a storm terrify them to no end, they also feared the man they were blindly following around, wondering what in the world they have gotten themselves into. Who is this man? They asked themselves. This morning, a few more clues are revealed to them, which have the potential either to clarify a few things about Jesus or widen the mystery. That's because Jesus is heading into the land which shall not be named, but bravely we name it anyway. He goes to where the Gentiles live. No worries if the word Gentile does not shock you. You and I typically don't think in those terms, maybe because we are Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. In Jesus' day, Jews and Gentiles should not, cannot, did not mix. Different religions, different customs, different regulations, different leaders, different rituals, different food habits. In general, no desired cross-pollination happened, no commingling was sought out, separate means safe. Jesus, though, Savior of the world, Son of humankind, Bread of heaven, doesn't buy into that nonsense, and he, on purpose, goes. Back when I lived in Abilene, Chelsea and I would sometimes go to Friday night high school football games in tiny towns of West Texas. Roscoe, Bangs, Brunt. On our drive into these towns, as we entered the city limits, there were these wooden signs or billboards that read things like, "You are now entering Plowboy Country. You are now entering the Dragon Lair. You are now entering Longhorn Territory." Depending on if you rooted for the home team or the visiting team, signs like these were either a welcome or a warning. Taking no chances, Chelsea and I always chose a sit in the home team bleachers. As Jesus and his company row their little boats up to the dock, their first step ashore means that they are not in Kansas anymore. You are now entering Gentile region. Since the disciples are the visiting squad, the warning signs are everywhere. Nothing on this side of the Sea of Galilee is kosher. Everything is impure. The people, the place, the pigs. While the scenery could have been quite similar to what the disciples were used to back home, the feel of it makes them jittery. It does not help that as soon as Jesus gets out of the boat, a madman gallops their direction, making everyone nervous, because what is he about to do? The disciples could not just roll up their car windows and pretend he does not exist. Best to hide behind Jesus, See if you will blow the lunatic aside as he did to the wind and the waves. Before we see if that happens, though, Mark, the gospel writer, presses pause and interjects a brief interlude. Some background is needed. A biography of the guy with wild eyes now frozen in mid-stride. He is identified only by his ailment. An evil spirit resides in him. A demon possesses him, owns him. So disruptive he became that the man's neighbors felt like they had no choice but to tie him up like a rabid dog, binding his hands and feet with iron chains. Not having the full story, we do not know how long this caging had been going on, weeks, months, years, decades. We also don't know what else they tried. Counseling, intervention, exorcism, prayer. But unless they had the guts to fully put him out of his misery, chains were it. The townspeople would free themselves from their misery of him by bringing food and water every now and then and move on with their life. The problem was that the demoniac's superpower strength meant nothing could restrain him. He yanked the chains free from their holdings. He ripped the bindings off his ankles. Often, Mark reports, the people tried to shackle him back up, but no one and no thing were strong enough to tame him. Often. How heartbreaking is that word? The man is a prisoner twice over, by his community and by the evil spirit. That's why the man lived in the graveyard, away from the neighborhood, out of sight, out of mind, but not out of earshot, unfortunately. Night and day, he roamed the cemetery and the hills, howling like a wolf as he sliced his skin with sharp stones. Those howls, those hills carried those howls throughout the countryside, through the open windows in people's homes and into the ears of young children as they tried to sleep, and parents would have to crawl into bed with their frightened kids and calm them down and reassure them that everything is going to be okay, that the madman would not come in the middle of the night. But of course, who knew what he was capable of? When he sees Jesus from a distance, the man runs toward him and falls on his knees right in front of him. With his wolfish voice, he yells out at the tip-top of his lungs, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Then, using a phrase my mother made me promise that I would never use, "Swear to God that you will not torture me." Is that the man speaking or the demon? Is there even a distinction anymore? There is a distinction, however, in Jesus' eyes, because he speaks directly to the evil spirit, "Come out of this man." But before it does, Jesus wants to know who he's dealing with. "What's your name?" he asks. He replies, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So there's a shift from the singular to the plural. There's not one demon inside of him, but an entire platoon of them, a riotous mob that vandalizes his humanness. No wonder he is clinically insane. One or two demons is bad enough for anybody, but a whole army of them? Jesus wants them out of the man, but they are not ready to leave, and they ask if they could please stay in the area. "There are pigs over there," they beg. "Can you allow us to go into them?" They are bargaining with Jesus. "Sure, go for it," he says.
The negotiation might be humorous if it weren't so strange. And it's definitely not funny to the 2,000 pigs who raced down the hillside to their demise in the lake, taking the legion of demons down with them. Nor is it funny to the pig farmers who just lost their entire business and livelihood. No one is laughing, except maybe for the man who no longer has the mass of several thousand voices bottlenecking his mind, his body, and his soul. He is no longer enslaved. He is sitting quietly on the grass instead of hysterically sprinting around the cemetery. He is dressed and no longer naked, someone giving a tunic to him. He is free, thanks be to God. Maybe he is laughing, something he had not felt since he was a boy. I like to think Jesus is laughing with him. The farmers, meanwhile, are now the ones running. Having watched every last one of their livestock vanish under the water's surface, they hightail it to town and tell everyone what has just happened. When the farmers return with a legion of citizens, I don't know if there was a Western showdown-like confrontation, a dusty street, a scowling sheriff with a toothpick in his mouth, a gang of rough-looking men behind him eager for a fight. I actually don't think it's like that at all. I think the townspeople are scared. Pigs are gone. The crazed man is sane. He's sitting, talking like a normal person. He's got clothes on. The radical swing from what was to what is too much for them. Even if the man from the tombs haunted their dreams and set them on edge anytime they wanted to go lay flowers on somebody's grave, at least they knew him like that. And knowing him like that, they could try to control him, comforting themselves by believing it was for his own good. They could avoid him, keep their distance, stay safe in this chaotic world that the demonic man represented. The neighbors had gotten used to this merciless arrangement. The wild eyes and moon howling were part of his identity. How could he possibly be anything else? The financial loss of the pigs is the sour cherry on top, and the people let their true color show. They fear the cost of Jesus' healing. With their toes dangling over the edge of what is familiar, they plead for Jesus to leave. Just go. Jesus will not impose on their comfort any longer and gets back into the boat to head home. His Jewish disciples get in too, surely ready to sleep in their own beds. The Gentile tries to climb aboard too. Makes perfect sense why he would want to do that. What does he have in this region anymore? People did not want him before he was healed, and they surely don't want him around after he was healed either. Why wouldn't he want to stay where he finally feels fully accepted for who he is, where things finally make sense for once in his life, with someone who broke the deeper chains inside of him that he could never, ever break on his own? Of course he wants to go. In one of the more depressing pieces of all of Scripture, Jesus says, "You cannot come." No. Did not let him into the boat. He's not permitted to step aboard. He's no longer allowed to sit at Jesus' feet, talking shop, swapping stories. As much as the man begs, like the demons had begged, he will not go with Jesus today. in what has been an unbelievable day. A full range of emotions and activity and grace. It concludes for the healed man with a painful no. Instead, Jesus has something else for him. Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you. The one who has healed him now sends him, not to his downfall like Jesus sent the evil spirits, but sent with mission, with intention, with life again in his bones. It's this man's call to discipleship. Jesus once had called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to discipleship too, and they had to leave their fish and their jobs and their dad. This man's is just the opposite. Stay right here. Go home to your friends, to your family. Share the story of God's mercy, opposite, but no less fruitful than Peter, Andrew, James, and John's. So the man went and began to tell in the 10 cities of that region how much Jesus had done for them. And all the people were amazed. When we consider Legion, the man among the tombs, it's not too difficult to picture Houston's own homeless population. We have seen them, of course, sitting under bridges, surrounding by mountain piles of trash, smoking weed, begging for money, hoping that the light turns green before they get too close, curious how they got a box spring and a mattress as we motor on by. But in our text today, it is not just about seeing people who are homeless with fresh eyes, though if nothing else, we can definitely learn to do that better. Nor is it solely about taking mental illness and mental health more seriously, though the upshot is there too. Nor is it only about getting over ourselves when it comes to a choice between financial gain and the well-being of our fellow humans. The truth is, there are a lot of stolen pigs and material possessions that possess us. Perhaps Mark, most of all, wants to remind us about the power and the purpose of Jesus. There is no place that he will not go. Jesus will go anywhere, do anything, chase down anyone if it means rescue and freedom, if it means order to chaos and peace to unrest. There is nothing Jesus cannot heal. Demons who run amok, mental illness, broken bodies, hardened hearts, weary souls, hurting churches. If our experience tells us anything, though, it's that healing may and probably will come in ways and times different than our desires and expectations. In any case, we can have confidence that Jesus, whatever he chooses to do or choose not to do, will be in accordance to the kingdom of God which he himself embodies. Our task as disciples is to faithfully step into daunting and foreign arenas where, surprise, God is already at work. Healing, breathing, gracing, casting out, drawing in. Our task, since mercy has been spoken over us, is to speak of mercy itself. Go home and tell your people how much the Lord has done for you, Jesus says. Jesus's word of mercy to the man changes his whole identity. No longer is he the demon-possessed guy, the crazed madman, Legion. He is now a faithful one, healed one, beloved one, missionary disciple. Because a new identity takes root, the seeds of the kingdom of God grow on. After all, Jesus' kingdom healing in Gentile country finds a receptive audience through the unlikeliest of characters. And everyone was amazed, Mark says. If their amazement turned into long-term discipleship, that's anyone's guess. But here is what I hope happened. I hope the community healed too, as they listened to the mercy of God. I hope that as they heard his story, they did so at a kitchen table during a shared meal. I hope they asked for forgiveness, taking down the iron chains from the wall they had once and often used against him. I hope they together walked to the edge of what once was so normal and familiar and tossed those chains into the abyss where they belong. I hope that as they walked back into town, they stopped the sign of warning and ripped it down and replaced it with a new one, which simply said, "You are welcome here." Sounds like something the Spirit of God could do, perhaps even among us. Thanks be to God. And together we say or we type, Amen. Let's stand and worship, please.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Please be seated.
God indeed has left his Spirit till the work on earth is done, and that work is ongoing. God's Spirit is indeed among us, and together we get to see that Spirit clearly in just a piece of bread and a little cup of juice. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ, broken and also poured out for us. In a moment, I'm going to pray over the bread and the cup, our time together, as we have been doing. I want to invite a couple of you to join me and pass out the bread and the cup.
If you want to do that, you can come forward right after I pray, and we'll share this time at the table together. Let's pray, please. Thank you, O our Father, for giving us your Son and for leaving your Spirit until your work on earth is done. We give you thanks for this bread and the cup, which are vivid reminders that that work is ongoing, that that work is happening within our very selves and in our world. We eat in remembrance because it's Jesus who taught us to do so. And it's through him that we pray and do all things. Amen.
Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you,
and I will sing.
We have been given, so now we also have the opportunity to give. So we give with grateful hearts. We give out of what God has given to us. We have Alex over on this side, Glenn over here. These guys are going to walk around in just a moment with an offering plate. If you have something to give or one of those cards I did not talk about at the beginning of our service, you can lay those in the plate, some of those yellow cards, blue cards, other cards, you can put those in there. Your check, your cash. You can also give online if you choose to do so. You can bring it by the office, drop it in the mail, however you choose to give it. We will gratefully receive it for the work in this community. Let's pray together, please, and then Alex and Glenn will walk around. We pray, O God, by your Spirit, that you would take these funds that are given and that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth and here in this neighborhood, just as it is in heaven. We pray also that you would bless the givers, that you will take care of their hearts, their minds, their finances, everything that they have. We pray blessings on them today. It's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. All right, while they're walking around, a couple of family matters I want to share with you. So you may remember, hopefully you do, that for about a year and a half, we shared food bags with our neighbors, starting out with those who were associated with Reach to Teach, the children, the families, part of those we would bring across the street in our neighborhood and deliver food bags that several of you helped purchase, pick up, and put it all together. Once Reach to Teach began, we knew that both things really weren't going to go on at the same time. I could definitely not be in two places at once. And so I started thinking, what's next for us in that regard? Because we did not want to just completely drop giving food to our neighbors, some of whom had very much come to depend on it. So I've been in conversation with the YMCA, who has connections with the food bank, and we're going to start our very own little small food pantry right here. Specifically, this is for our Reach to Teach families who come on Wednesdays. The children and their parents bring them. After Reach to Teach concludes, I open this up, and they are welcome to take any of these food products, hygiene products, shampoo, conditioner, things like that that they need, and they are welcome to do that. There are several folks in a neighborhood who are not part of Reach to Teach in specific ways, and so I will continue to bring stuff over to them in order to maintain relationship with them and bless them. So this is what has been birthed out of the whole neighborhood bag thing. And so I'm very thankful for that. This will be restocked by the YMCA about once every 2 weeks. King, right after our service, is going to open up the closet. This is just to the left outside the lobby. One of those doors there, you'll see it open. If you want to peek in, take a look. If you need something, you can take it. It's all free. You can take that. All right. So that's good news. Other good news is we have VBS starting tonight at 5:30 p.m. This is for children ages 3 going up through 6th grade, so 11 or 12. We have a full VBS plan for tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday. Maybe you saw some of the slight decorations that we've started with over here on my left, on my right. These are going to be the age group seating sections. We'll clear out these seats and have a great time together. I still need people to pray. I have had maybe 5 or 6 people tell me explicitly, I'm going to pray. I need more than that. Can you come tell me today that you're going to pray for VBS? Can you do that? Let's do that. Because I think God has some great stuff for our children this week. I'm very much looking forward to that. Due to the rise in COVID cases and the fact that we are working with children who are unvaccinated, I am asking all volunteers to please mask up. We're going to do that for the next few days. We're going to have a great time together, too. So thanks for your support and prayers thus far. All right, Larry mentioned Bible classes at the beginning of our service. Here they are. We have classes for our preschool kids. We have Martha and Stephanie in the elementary room 106. We have teens upstairs with myself and King. We have a couple of adult classes, 106, Echoing Hope, in the library with Dee, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and the Deuteronomic History here in the auditorium.
So as Larry said, we sure hope that you choose to stay around and be a part of one of these breakout classes today. All right, let's be sent out standing up, please, and in benediction as we go forth from here. Jesus said to you, no, go home to your family, to your friends, to your own people, and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been to you. Go in purpose and peace this week.
Okay.